Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. I know I've said this before, but one of my greatest joys in doing this work is all the amazing people I meet. Most afterlife researchers are the kind of people you especially want to know. They're lighthearted, friendly, kindly people who care about learning and sharing the truth. They never focus on themselves. They focus on you. And now they're some of my dearest friends. I hear often from people who would like to be able to join this movement, and that's new, I have to admit, just within the past few months. Most of them, though, want to make a living at it, and while I think that in the future things are going to be different, for now there's tremendous satisfaction, but there isn't a lot of money in doing afterlife-related research and education. Our guest today is a wonderful example of the whole breed of afterlife researchers and educators. Mark Pitstick has a background in pastoral counseling with a master's degree in clinical psychology and a doctorate in chiropractic health care. Then his life took a different turn. He became a leading afterlife researcher with a number of good books in this field. He's certified in past life regression therapy by Brian Weiss and in the facilitated after-death contact technique by no less than Raymond Moody. He's the vice president of Eternia, which is an organization started by Evan Alexander, and he's a board member of the wonderful bereaved parents group Helping Parents Heal. He's the director of the Soulfound Foundation that supports the work in spirit communication of Dr. Gary Schwartz. And he's a well-credentialed worker in general in this field. In fact, I think he has more credentials than anyone I've met lately. He is a wonderful example of the kind of career you can have. As I say, not a lot of money, but a tremendous amount of satisfaction. Welcome, Mark. I'm really glad you're here, finally. This is great.
Thank you, Roberta. My pleasure.
I'd like people to get to know you because you're not as well known as some of our guests. How did you ever get started in this field? Because I see there are a number of other things you could have done with your life.
Sure. Before I get started on that, though, I'd like to say my standard disclaimer, which is I don't claim whatever I'm saying during our interview. I'm not claiming to have all the answers, the only answers. And also my answers are based to a large degree on clinical and scientific research, but not all of it. Some of it is based on my best sense, based on my personal experiences, empirical experiences of others. So I just like to say that so I don't have to worry about using modifiers through the rest of, you know, perhaps, indicate, suggest, and so on. So how did I get started in the spirituality topics? I think it's what my soul came here to do, and there's some objective evidence for that. When I was 6 years old, my parents were showing me a beautiful sunset, and I told them it reminded me of God. And they only told me that 20 years later when I was in theology school. Now, I was brought up Lutheran, so it was always God the Father, big guy in the sky sort of thing. So there's really no good reason I would have equated a beautiful sunset with God unless indeed I remembered at least partially the other side or from whence I came. And then over the years, periodically, different mediums, psychics, people can see energy and auras, told me that I was different, a teaching soul, actually a rare type of soul who comes to Earth. So throughout my life, I had a magnificent obsession. I felt like there was something I was to do. I didn't feel like an average earthling. I actually had to kind of learn how to fit in. Earthly ways seemed a bit strange. And so as soon as I learned about things like meditation and yoga and Eastern religion at a very young age, I took to it like a duck to water. But my interest in things spiritual really took off when I was 19. I started working in hospitals part-time as a respiratory therapist. As I worked my way through undergrad and theology school. And so was working by age 20 directly with people every shift who died, always in ER or in ICU. And seeing all that, especially little children die, just drove me to my knees and made me reevaluate everything I had ever been taught, because the traditional answers no longer made sense. God is all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring. Well, if that's the case, why were little kids getting hit by cars and abused to death? So that launched them, and that's been 45 years.
You were there for, you were present for a lot of deaths when you were young then? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I was working on these people, and, you know, sometimes no matter what we did, they died.
Yeah, wow. That's heavy stuff when you're that age.
It was, but no more heavy than what many people go through, you know, young people thrown into war or something like that. So it was
sure.
One of my spiritually transformative experiences, or STEs, that now has blessed tens of thousands of people in the 45 years since.
So what, that led you to reevaluate God? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I basically became an agnostic, maybe even atheist. And
theology school and you became an atheist?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I reexamined everything I had been taught because the traditional answers didn't make sense. And so it was a blessing, really, because it led me to search with new eyes through all the evidence, pro or con, because I was actually prepared. You know, it hadn't been that long when I found out about the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. So I thought, well, maybe this idea of God and an afterlife falls in the same category.
Right. So what did you do then?
Well, after I finished 11 years of college, I truly had a holistic health care training then, and I've been practicing with people ever since, body, mind, and spirit, and all along writing books. I've written several, doing lots of workshops. I've hosted two of my own radio shows. So getting out the good news out as much as I can that, number one, there's ample evidence that strongly indicates that no one really dies. Death is an optical illusion, that there's this greater reality, 99.9% of life, that we can't detect with our five senses, that indeed we do see our, quote, departed loved ones again, and can now. And so all the good news that comes with awakening spiritually, and then you can settle into this life and enjoy the venture without fear and the other things that haunt so many people.
You were doing counseling then?
I was a clinical psychologist for a few years, worked at two mental health centers, and quickly saw that that wasn't something I wanted to do all day, you know, hear about people's parents or whatever. So,
yeah.
But it's important every day in my practice, I and certainly dealing with others, I use the training. So looking back, I'm almost 64 now, I can see that everything had a reason. And now when I work with groups of bereaved parents or people whose children or loved ones have died by suicide, I think, oh my gosh, if I hadn't gone through everything I've gone through professionally and personally, I've had my own share of losses and disappointments and broken dreams, as we all have had. But all of that I can see clearly now prepared me to work with the toughest of tough and work on some of the projects I'm helping with.
I think that's such an extraordinary observation. You're absolutely right. If we haven't been through some of this, it's really impossible for us to understand, to sympathize, and to properly counsel people who are going through these things now. I hear from very young people, a lot of them are feeling called to this work, but I think a lot of seasoning is needed. I think you're absolutely right.
And there's some good evidence, I'm sure you're aware of this, that our souls even choose, and not every detail because that would be determinism, but certainly likelihoods, probabilities, potentials for major events happening in our life, especially the tough ones over the years. Every time I get a chance to interview somebody who's really gone through tough things, quadriplegic, paraplegic, raped, and you know, neck slit and left for dead, et cetera, I interview them, and many times they'll say, you know, if I could, this would be years later, even if I could go back and change things, I wouldn't, because going through all this has given me such a strength of spirit, and it's allowed me to serve and bless others in ways I wouldn't have been able to if I had an easy life.
And that's, yes, I'd like to emphasize that because the evidence, I agree with you, Mark. I'm not even going to quibble about this. We do plan into our lives some of the things we say we would never have planned into our lives. I know that's hard to accept, but it's just like we came to the gym and we got on the hardest machines because we want to grow spiritually the most. But how did you research the afterlife, Mark? You must have started somewhere and gotten clues and then followed those. How did you do it?
Well, again, that started around age 19, 20, seeing some many dying people. And then so that forced me to ask the questions that we all eventually ask. You know, who am I? Why am I here? What happens after we die? Is there really a God? And so on. So I would read, for example, I'd be in the ICU unit watching a couple patients on ventilators and reading Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, or another day reading a book by Ram Dass. And so I literally read everything I could get my hands on. I would ask questions, talk to people. I went to workshops, magazine articles. So everything I would save, I would write notes. And then at some point I realized I had a couple of large boxes of notes and articles, and I thought, there's a book in here. And indeed, that's what became Soul Proof, which has been out for about 20 years now. And Bernie Siegel agreed to write the foreword, and people like Raymond Moody and Brian Weiss and Wayne Dyer and others agreed to contribute exclusive information to it. So that got things started with Soul Proof. So it was a collection of all the evidence I could find, 9 different categories, near-death experiences, after-death contacts, mediums, etc., collectively made very clear that we are deathless beings. And for probably 30 years now, I have been doing workshops at different expos and, you know, New Age bookstores and a lot of Unity churches and so on, traveling around the country doing that, kind of a lone wolf. And then in the last 10 years, more and more interactions with people, and I guess that's why I'm just getting on some people's radar. Did a 3-day with Suzanne Giesman a month before last. Suzanne Wells and I are going to do webinars together. Anita Moore, Johnny, and I talked about doing retreats together, and of course working with some of the people you mentioned, some of the top people in the world, now on almost daily basis. So it's I've been able to back up from my holistic healthcare practice. I just practice a little bit part time, so I'm able to spend a lot more hours in writing, outreaches, workshops, etc.
Before we go on, some people are wondering, what is holistic healthcare? Can you explain quickly what it is you've been doing?
Sure. Well, it addresses body, mind, and spirit, which I saw at a very early age that needs to be addressed. I was working in some of the top hospitals, and these people were getting all kinds of drugs and surgery, and yet they were still very sick. And so in the mid-70s, that idea was coming about, and that's one reason why I went to theology school, psychology training, and then chiropractic to cover all the bases. So this recognizes that we're complex beings and that there can be different causes. So for one person, for example, depression could be due to nutritional deficiencies. And for that, we use things like nutrition response testing and standard processed products. Other people may have stuck emotions from emotional trauma, abuse, for example, when they're young, and those emotions are literally stuck in a joint or in the muscles, and there are ways to release that. Other people have spiritual fears, you know, wondering if there really is a God or fear of hell, and so we address that in different ways. So recognizing that there are different causes and addressing those, trying to triage each problem versus a patient having to go around and find, hopefully, the right therapist.
So when people would come to you, they were kind of messed up, they had depression, maybe even a cancer or some issue like that, and you worked through with them how to explain how you would actually work with someone, because I find this interesting. I get more and more questions about holistic healthcare in general now and you know, all the different sort of ways people do this.
Well, there are two ways. Having been in healthcare fields for 45 years and chiropractic for 32, I've pretty much seen it all. So usually before more than a few senses are out, I have a pretty good idea of what's going on. But the The ideal way is to find out is to ask the body, and we do that through subtle muscle testing. And so, as you know, consciousness is non-local, so my consciousness can ask the consciousness of the patient, what's going on? Is this physical, emotional, or spiritual? And so you just go through the possibilities. Let's say it's physical, all right? Does that mean, is it structural? Do they have a cranial bone that's out of alignment from when they hit the head when they're a little kid, or when their dad hit them in the head when they're a teenager? You just trace through the possibilities, and then once you find out what the problem is, then you design the best treatment for it.
Is this with this where you do the muscle testing, and if you get a certain answer, if the answer is a right answer, the arm will do one thing, and if not, it'll do another, and it has nothing to do with what the person wants to do. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, exactly. I've been using muscle testing for 35 years, and in the hands of a skillful practitioner, it's an amazing way to communicate with the patients, what we call innate intelligence.
You actually were certified in things by Brian Weiss and Raymond Moody, people I've met and respect tremendously. How did you meet them, and what is it they taught you?
Well, we had interactions through my radio show. I had a radio show called Soul Illusions, and they were guests. And, of course, I read every book that they both put out. And then when I heard about the training they were offering, I was signing up. So this is nearly 20 years ago. And spent a week with Dr. Weiss in Florida along with 80 other psychotherapists getting the past life regression training. And, of course, like any good training, you get work on yourself. So I had amazing experiences that were personally meaningful for me and healing, and then learning how to do that. And I did individual sessions probably for a couple years, but just then ran out of time. And so talked to Dr. Weiss and got his ideas on conducting group sessions, which I now do with all of my different approaches, whether it's Ask Your Soul or holistic breathing, one I call pre-birth planning, facilitated after-death contact. So I do these with groups, probably have done 100 people at a time. Everybody's under hypnosis. Everybody's having their own experiences, and they can share afterwards. So with Dr. Moody, I saw that he was doing what's called the psychomantium training, which harks back to early Greece when people would go in underground caves and there would be a whole ritual and then look at water or oil in a huge cauldron with just the right light. And sometimes these people could see their, quote, departed loved ones. And I say, quote, because, as you know, and I'm sure your listeners understand more and more, nobody really dies. So it appears they're deceased, departed, but they could be right beside us. It's just that our senses don't detect that greater reality. So I spent a week with Dr. Moody outside Las Vegas and training how to do that using mirror gazing in a darkened chamber with just very mild light, and in many cases, again, people being able to sense their loved ones who have passed on but definitely not passed away. Another wonderful side effect of the training with Dr. Moody was that I saw early on that he would walk early every morning, and this is in the mountain, and I would run every morning, so I thought, okay, I'll walk with him. And so every morning we walked in the mountains together and talked for about an hour. And both of those individuals, as well as Gary Schwartz and Wayne Dyer and others I've worked with, are such beautiful examples of a great mind but also a great heart. And those don't always go together, but when they do, they can have a wonderful impact on others.
Now, as I said at the start of this interview, one of the things I really appreciate is making friends with these people, because they are all so deeply kind and helpful and loving. There's a softness about people who know the truth, which it will, I think, overspread the earth once everyone knows the truth, and it's something wonderful to look forward to. So you've done past life regression therapy with people then. You yourself have done it for them or have facilitated it?
Yes, for about 20 years, both with individuals and groups. And I have a CD product excuse me, or a digital download product on my website, soulproof.com, and $10 for the digital download, $15 for the CD. I make all this very affordable, so as many people as possible can afford it. I even say, if people can't afford that, let me know, and we'll send you a free digital copy. We want this technology available to everyone on the planet.
So if people buy your product or you send it to them and they use it, they can do their own past life regressions? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just like having me in the room. It's the same voice, it's the same introduction. They can then record, and so when they have an experience, you know, I see myself in France in the 1600s, they can say that out loud so they can listen to it afterwards. There's also hypnotic suggestions. There will be total recall, so people remember everything they need to remember. So it's very inexpensive because, you know, a good therapist to do sessions like this can cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and we can only reach individuals at a time, so we need a better way to reach more people.
Yeah, I should just say parenthetically that this is, to me, a fascinating concept. I myself, I had a terrible fear of heights, and just discovering a past life in which I was a fool teenage Indian kid who walked off a cliff because I thought I could fly, just that flash of memory was enough to make me no longer afraid of heights. Once you go back to or forward, because you can progress as well, once you find the lifetime that's giving you some phobia or some issue, you know, all you have to do is be aware of it and it goes away. Don't you think that's a miracle? I just can't get over it.
I guess I'm used to it. I have medical doctors in my area. It's a smaller town, who refer tough cases to me, asthma and chronic pain and so on, and almost always we will find, as you say, some past event. They carry that stuck energy over into this time and place, and once they release it, the symptoms go away.
Let's mention, too, the whole psychomantium idea. Raymond Moody is such a pioneer in so many areas, and he went through a fascination with psychomantiums, which really do, provided they do you do the proper preparation and provided you get into it and stick with it, they really do. He talks in his book, which I can't recall the name of it now, but about meeting his grandmother and all these vivid, vivid things that happened to some of the people who used his psychomantium. Does he still allow people to use it?
Yes, and there are some people around the country who use it. The book, by the way, was Reunions.
That's it, Reunions.
It's interesting that people don't always have their experience while in the booth. Sometimes they occur afterwards. It sets it up. One woman actually got home, thought she had failed because she had hoped to contact her son who was deceased. And she was getting ready to go to sleep and heard a sound, turned on the light, and there he stood. He was in physical form. He even hugged her. Their after-death contact lasted over an hour, and she actually got to the point where she was giving him a tour of the house. So a remarkable story.
Wow, that is remarkable. But all we can say is it works, and it's amazing, and more people should know about these things which are happening every day. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to tour all these different things. I mean, everyone knows the term now, soul phone, it appears, because I get emails about it. People ask me if they meet me. And all I can say is I saw the Gary's Laboratory, and it's really impressive. How did you get started working with Gary in this?
Oh, again, Gary was a guest of my show. This time the show was called Ask the Soul Doctors. And so Gary and I really hit it off. I sensed early on that we were kindred spirits. I had met my match, someone who had wrestled with these questions and worked hard at finding sensible, as much as possible, evidence-based answers, and he had been doing this throughout his lifetime. So we also were involved with Eternia. He was the chairman at the time, and so we just kept emailing and so on. And so I was going to Phoenix to give some workshops at the wonderful Unity Church there, and this little voice said, you ought to, it was like a week ahead before we flew down there, and this little voice said, you ought to contact Gary and see if he wants to have lunch. You're going to be an hour and a half away. And so I've learned to listen to that little voice. Called him. He said, that'd be perfect. Give you a tour of the lab. Let's have lunch. And the next thing I know, he was asking me what would it take for me to come to Tucson for some significant period of time and help him be the spokesperson for the Soulphone project. And I couldn't say no. I mean, I consider him to be like Edison shortly before the electric light bulb, or the Wright brothers before light was discovered, and so on. I really mean that. There are only a handful of people on the planet who can even get a fraction of what these devices are going to mean for so many people in our world.
So, and this was not long ago, right? It was within the past year, perhaps?
Yeah, that just happened last September. And so, indeed, I spent the entire winter, over 3 months, there in Tucson working closely with him. We just got our first large donor 2 weeks ago, and so he's starting phase two. So let me give you just a brief overview for your listeners. When we say the soul phone, it's not going to start off as like a cell phone, like you hold in your hand. That's the eventual goal, and eventually an app, an application that you can download on your smartphone, just like you have any other app. But before then, a number of stages. So the first stage will be what's called the soul switch, and Dr. Schwartz estimates that we're about 6 to 9 months away from that device, and he thinks there's a 90 to 95% probability of it being perfected, a reliably functioning device. So the soul switch device then will be a binary indicator, a yes-no, that will allow those on, quote, the other side to answer basic questions. First of all, questions to validate that they are who they say they are. So you can quickly ask some confirmatory questions. Then once a person is satisfied that indeed they're talking to their father or mother or child or whoever who's passed, then you can ask basic questions. You know, are you okay? Yes. Were you present at your sister's birthday party yesterday? So that'll allow rudimentary communication. The next step after that, and probably another 9 months or so, will be called the soul keyboard. And that will be an assembly of switches then, which is basically what a keyboard is, that will allow us to text with those who have passed on. Not only our departed loved ones, but also deceased luminaries, scientists, inventors, great teachers, and so on. So we're not that far away from being able to have webinars, for example, with Albert Einstein and learn how can we have free energy or how can we address overpopulation and so on. Well, it's literally going to be life-changing. The next device after the soul keyboard then will be soul audio. So we'll be able to talk like you and I are talking by phone. And then soul video, which will actually be like Skype or Zoom audio video conferencing. So this is coming, and it's coming quickly. And so people who want to learn more about this, the website is soulphone.org. And I'll give that again, soulphone.org. You can learn more about it. You learn how you can support it. Extremely exciting, especially for people who are suffering from, you know, a loved one passing or a pet. And then also people who are ready to get some of this input. There's a long list of people like Einstein, Edison, Tesla, Sagan, Max Planck, et cetera, who want to help us heal our world, who want to help us make this Earth the kind of place it can be.
No, it really is amazing. What does he anticipate for the soul audio? You get the download the app, ask your great-great-grandmother for her recipes. What does he anticipate for the arrival of that? Or does he mean?
What would the device look like, or how far along, or
when might it happen? You know, if you can get a recipe for her Christmas cake by Christmas of 2020 or 2025.
It depends a lot on funding, and so that's why we encourage people, even if they can donate $5 a month, to help, because we're looking for both small and large donors. But certainly within a couple of years, there's a very high probability that will be the case. And just think how wonderful that is. And not only that, when people are communicating with grandma and getting the recipe, that's going to diminish their fear of death so much, and that's such a common fear. And then that's when we can really begin living.
I think that that is what will transform the world. When people understand that we truly never do die, nobody ever does, that's going to make, you're right, everything will be different. But I'm surprised to hear it so soon, although we've been hearing from the dead. They don't have calendars, they don't have clocks, they don't have time. So they've been wildly optimistic about when this would happen. So I'm asking everybody listening to sort of be aware of that. But they have been optimistic that it's coming soon. And thank you. That's the we just had him on, and he didn't give us as much detail as you did. So I'm so glad we were able to ask you that question. How can people reach you, and what is your own website?
My website is Soul Proof. So we just mentioned soulphone.org. Mine is soulproof.com. And there are lots of free things there for people who visit, lots of free articles addressing the toughest questions from people who are going through depression, people who are empathic or sensitive, people who had a loved one die by suicide, et cetera. All the toughest, most common questions. Also, about 20 free radio shows, the two radio shows that I mentioned. So interviews, again, free with Wayne Dyer, Brian Weiss, Michael Newton, you name it, some of the biggest names, all looking at practical spirituality, important information, and how does that improve our life in the here and now, and then also free newsletters, so people can visit that. Then there's an array of products that I've created. I mentioned Soul Proof, the book with all the evidence, also the book, The 11 Questions, in which I interview 11 top consciousness experts, asking them all, and then my own answers, the same questions, who am I, why am I here, et cetera. Lots of information there. And then the third book is called Radiant Wellness, 7 Keys to Fine-Tuning Our Bodies and Minds so they can be on the same wavelength as the soul. And that's one reason I got into holistic healthcare, because it became apparent, and I saw some research by people like Sharon Cooper and Ken Ring and Jenny Wade and so on, university-based research, that showed that the more balanced and evolved our bodies and brains are, the more they're congruent on the same page, so to speak, with our essence, with that higher, finer energy. And then that's when we're more unified beings. We're using all of our energy that's available. We're divine humans, and that's when every aspect of our life can be successful, happy, and so on. And then I created a soul-proof documentary a few years ago, so where we interviewed, this 93-minute movie, we interviewed people who experienced each one of those 9 categories of evidence, near-death experiences, paranormal, miracles, and so on, and then experts in most of those categories. Finally, there are 8 what I call transformative CDs, also available in digital download products, things like the past life regression, Ask Your Soul, it's holistic breathing, one that's very close to what we talked about earlier, the facilitated after-death contact. So a lot of these are under hypnosis. For example, facilitated after-death contact. I've done this with thousands of people now, getting hypnotized, getting deeper relaxed, going through a number of steps so they then can experience the very real reality. I said just a quick story. A couple months ago, so I was doing this class with a group of bereaved parents. In the front row was a woman named Elaine, and she's totally relaxed. Her face is just total mush, but her upper lip kept raising up, first one side, the other, then both, but the rest of her side's totally relaxed. If you try it, it's impossible to do.
Yes.
So I asked her afterwards, and she said her son, who died about 2 years ago, was teaching her how to smile again. And she experienced him manipulating the muscles to raise her upper lip. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, so these are powerful products, and they're very inexpensive. And that way people can have the information and then also the strategies and techniques so they can literally heal whatever is stopping them from knowing they are one with the one right now. They're one with God, source energy, and we're in eternity right now.
Wow. His name, just to make sure you know it, is Mark Pitstick, P-I-T-S-T-I-C-K. I'm assuming your books are on Amazon as well, right?
Yes.
So I recommend you get to know him if you, this is an area of general interest, because he seems to be one of the few people who's sort of not a specialist. He's all over the place. And the help he's giving to Gary Schwartz, I want to just mention, is remarkable, because Dr. Schwartz is brilliant, but like so many people who are brilliant, he's a little bit scattered. And I know you sort of heard that when we were talking on the phone. And Mark just gave us the quickest summary of what's going on in his laboratory that I've heard. So you're performing a wonderful service to all of us, kind of getting it all focused and communicating with us. What's that website again?
The website for the Soul Phone work is soulphone.org. And by the way, I get as much out of it as I give. When I have four grandchildren, and when I pass on, when I drop this body, I want to be able to communicate with them. I want to be able to continue the relationship. And so, frankly, that's one of my motivations for helping so much.
Yeah, I can identify. I have five grandchildren. I can identify exactly with what you're saying. But this is soon, everyone. This is the kind of thing to get to understand and know what's going on now, because before the news breaks about the splashy stuff, you're going to see a lot of things happening which will amaze you. I understand from Dr. Schwartz that this takes money. The problem we've got is the real experimenters in these fields are not in bodies, and they're brilliant because many of the names you'll know, but they forgot money. They forgot how money works. So Gary told me once with frustration, they propose we do all these things and it all costs money. So that's why money is needed. His laboratory is well equipped now, but not nearly as well equipped as it needs to be for him to do these experiments that will lead to the later stages of this work. So I'm so glad that you're raising money. And everyone, if you have a few extra dollars, this is certainly a worthy cause for all of us, because once this news is out, the world will be transformed. It's the single most effective thing that is going to make everything change for the better on the earth. Now, is there anything else you want to make sure that we tell people before we have to sign off?
Well, this is exciting news. We just learned 2 weeks ago we had a Hollywood producer come in who is the executive producer of the show America's Most Wanted, and he's also a medium, Carl Buell, and he is pitching, as we speak, his agent on a 8-part series documentary. They're shooting for something like Discovery or Netflix on the Soul Phone, the history of it, research, interviewing people. His agent says it's a done deal. He said there will be great interest in this. So it will be out on a large scale soon. You heard it here first on Roberta's show.
Thank you. I love it when we can break a scoop. But that will raise all the money that you're going to need. Mark, this has been terrific. I'm so glad you came and joined us. And we'll have to have you back soon to get an update on what's going on in Dr. Schwartz's laboratory. But thank you so much for being with us today. Again, Mark Pitstick, everyone. And watch him and watch what he's doing, because he's doing wonderful work. I'm especially glad you've been with us today, because we just got a bona fide scoop. Actually, several, because we learned from Mark Pitstick stuff that nobody, as far as I'm aware, outside of the laboratory that in Tucson, nobody knows. So this has been a very eventful day for me. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. And that's going to happen soon, apparently, which is especially exciting. Next week, our guest is going to be David Lowe. His wonderful book is Universal Spiritual Psychology and Practice. It sounds a little stuffy, but it's not. It's just what you need right now if you're a searcher, because I'm hearing almost daily from spiritual people who know they're spiritual and they're unsatisfied with whatever they're doing now. They're basically starting their search. And frankly, I'm a one-trick pony. When I use the teachings of Jesus, they work perfectly for me, than, of course, non-religious teachings of Jesus. And I don't need to go further. So I look for someone who could give you a broad sort of menu of the kinds of things you can do if you're a spiritual seeker. Everybody sort of needs a slightly different way to get there. And David's book is really a great overview of world spiritual practices. It's sort of like a general store written in plain language. You can shop around, you can sample the goods, and I find it really delightful. It's based in religious teachings, but remember, that's what everybody thought was the spiritual way to go. There was nothing spiritual outside religions. And in fact, a lot of the Eastern religions have been for spiritual seekers. They've made spirituality a focus, and some of their teachings may really resonate with you. So you're going to really like David. You're going to like the service he's going to give you, and I hope you'll join us next week. Today, our guest has been Mark Pitstick. He is such a zealous seeker in the study of death, in the afterlife, the greater reality, all this stuff, that he's one of the very few people who's a polymath. He's an expert in a number of fields. And I think he's doing really hero's work with Dr. Gary Schwartz, who has always needed Mark, and now they found one another just 6 months ago, and already a lot of work is being done productively on the soul phone. I'm going to be thrilled if it happens as soon as 2 years. I'm telling people 5 to 10, but whenever it happens, the world will change. Actually, both Dr. Schwartz and Mark Pitstick are going to be presenters at the AREI Symposium in Scottsdale, September 15 to 17, 2017. So I hope you'll try to make time to be with us. It's going to be an exciting few days. Go to afterlifestudies.org for more information. As you know, my own books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and now The Fun of Living Together. They're all available from bookstores on Amazon as audiobooks and in 33 languages worldwide. And if you want to talk to me about anything at all, about any of my books, about anything that's on your mind, you can contact me through robertagrimes.com. I do answer every email. Sometimes I spend most of a day doing it, but I love hearing from people. Recent episodes of Seek Reality are available on boldbravemedia.com. Earlier episodes are being rebroadcast on Dream Vision 7 Radio and on the X Zone Broadcast Network and its affiliates at xzbn.net. They're available as podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. And this is fun. Someone contacted me and said, hey, we'll do an app. I said, what the heck? There's now a free Seek Reality app, and I'm hearing from people who absolutely love it. It's so easy. Just go to iTunes and look for Seek Reality, and it's there for you, and it's another way for us to meet. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in Hour One Reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.